Chapter 58, Taking Sides. Having another vision of Voldemort did not endear Harry's scar to him one bit, and talking it over in more detail with Dumbledore, and then Sirius, Ron, and Hermione did not help. They just didn't have enough information, any way they turned it around. Professor Snape wasn't interested in speculating, since he'd gotten it into his head that Harry would complete a successful batch of Polyjuice before the end of term, and it was not going particularly well. Harry wanted to ask if Snape would be happy if Harry died, because he'd been distracted by brooding Polyjuice like a chicken, but ended up staying quiet. It just didn't seem diplomatic. Harry did comment when their last session before the third task was a lightning round of making a scarily precise batch of healing potion, though. Harry looked at the neat silver flask full of potion, etched with a snake, and said, "I'm going to be fine." "Then you will spare Madame Pomfrey a small amount of labor," Professor Snape said. Harry fought his way through the maze and got his leg ripped open by a giant spider, at which point Harry was very grateful to have a spot of healing potion to glug down surreptitiously while Cedric looked at the golden cup. It made him feel a little better about what he felt was not a very strong showing at the task. Cedric died. Harry wished he'd said proper goodbyes to his friends and family and his teachers, just in case. Lord Voldemort was alive. They dueled. Harry took Cedric home. Harry felt very numb while confronting Moody and being interviewed by Dumbledore and Sirius. "He'll be fine," said Madame Pomfrey, giving Harry some pajamas and pulling screens around him. He took off his robes, pulled on the pajamas, and got into bed. Ron, Hermione, Bill, Mrs. Weasley, and the black dog came around the screen and settled themselves in chairs on either side of him. Ron and Hermione were looking at him almost cautiously, as though scared of him. "It's all right," he told them. "Just tired." Mrs. Weasley's eyes filled with tears as she smoothed his bed covers unnecessarily. "I need to talk to Draco," Harry said abruptly. "I have something to say to him." Ron and Hermione exchanged anxious glances, and Ron got up and left the room. Madame Pomfrey had compelled Harry to drink a dreamless sleep potion by the time Draco turned up. His pale face shone oddly in Harry's muzzy vision. Harry grabbed his sleeve and tugged Draco down so he was less wavering and far away. "You don't have to tell your father," Harry informed him. "He already knows." Sirius growled.
"You'd better go," said Hermione.
"You'll forgive me, Dumbledore, but I've never heard of a cursed scar acting as an alarm bell before." "Look, I saw Voldemort come back," Harry shouted. He tried to get out of bed again, but Mrs. Weasley forced him back. "I saw the Death Eaters. I can give you their names." And he hesitated. And behind the minister, Snape shook his head once. Harry paused, and it gave Fudge time to say, "I've trusted you a great deal this year, Dumbledore. And what do I have to show for it? Nothing but chaos and disorder. I've had enough, do you hear? It seems to me that you are all determined to start a panic that will destabilize everything we have worked for these last 13 years. It turned out that when one was a semi-accepted escaped felon, it was quite easy for one to become a most wanted escaped felon again. All it really took was reassigning the case to a different pair of Aurors. Draco avoided Harry, and Harry was happy to let him. He kept remembering Lucius Malfoy's smooth professions of loyalty whenever he looked at blonde hair. Snape was at Harry's bedside, looking like death, eyes fever bright and full of murder.
Harry, he said, watching Harry's face carefully. Would you come with me now if I asked you to? If I said it was important? Harry put his hand on his wand, trying as hard as he could to read this man who he still didn't know, even after years of teaching and learning and hating and... No, Harry said, and prayed it was the right answer. I don't think I will, thanks. Professor Snape did not smile. I will see you when term resumes, Harry. Harry fell back against his pillow and wished he didn't think Harry was code for do nothing I say. Hermione had just finished explaining about Rita Skeeter being an animagus when the door of the train compartment opened and Draco and Greg appeared in the doorway. Under the circumstances, Harry wasn't sorry about drawing his wand. Jumpy Potter? Draco asked softly. Harry said nothing. Well, I'd like a word. Greg can stay here as assurance to your friends of my good behavior. Which led to Harry standing in a train corridor, looking at Draco with very mixed feelings. Draco lifted his chin and met Harry's eyes, expression exceptionally unreadable. I have a favor to ask. Depends on the favor. Do you know some place Greg could go for the summer? Why? Because the Dark Lord... Draco caught himself and took a breath. Because Greg's an idiot. Because he's my idiot. No sense of subterfuge. No sense. He thinks you're his friend. He thinks... He sort of is my friend, Harry admitted. Not sure how that happened. His father is my father, only without the wit and charm, Draco said flatly. If he thinks Greg is disgracing the family name, he will kill him. So, do you know someplace Greg can stay this summer? Harry went quiet for a minute. Draco's father thought murdering 11-year-olds with cursed objects was a reasonable thing to do. Mr. Goyle and Mr. Malfoy had both watched while Harry was tortured, and Voldemort set out to murder him slowly. Why didn't you ask Dumbledore? He wouldn't get between a pure-blood sire and his heir. He wouldn't care about Greg. Snape? As if he'd do anything to draw the Dark Lord's ire right now. Harry frowned, thinking. He couldn't exactly pay for a room at an inn all summer, or put Greg up at the Dursleys. He'd have to stay at Sirius's place. But he'd have to stay. The location's secret. Are you sure? I'm sure. You know Greg by now. He changes his mind about once every 10 years. Harry had to admit that sounded about right. And you? Draco smiled very thinly, pale eyes hooded. My father and Greg's father share politics, not intelligence or child-rearing habits. I'll be fine. Really? Of all my friends, Draco purred, I'm the only one who can say their father or guardian has never hit them. Happy? Harry winced and didn't argue. Draco, Voldemort? Oh, don't. Honestly, I'd rather stay out of it if I could. But you know I can't, Harry. Draco, I can't. There was something raw and honest and awful in Draco's pale eyes, and Harry looked away. Thinking about Cedric and Lucius Malfoy and... Right, Harry said thickly. Well, I'll take care of Greg for you. Thank you, Draco said formally. I appreciate it. He'll be all right to come back to Hogwarts in the fall? No one can take a child out of Hogwarts, Draco confirmed. Right, Harry said again. Harry sent an owl to Sirius from the train and didn't say a word about it to Ron or Hermione. What did he want? Ron asked. To say we weren't friends anymore. What with his dad wanting to murder me? Harry said, staring out the window. Which rather killed the conversation. Fred, George, wait a moment. The twins turned. Harry pulled open his trunk and drew out his Triwizard winnings. "Take it," he said, and he thrust the sack into George's hands.
"What?"
said Fred, looking flabbergasted.
"Take it," Harry repeated firmly. "I don't want it."
"You're mental," said George, trying to push it back at Harry.
"No, I'm not," said Harry. "You take it and get inventing. It's for the joke shop."
"He is mental," Fred said in an almost awed voice.
"Listen," said Harry firmly. "If you don't take it, I'm throwing it down the drain.
If we win the war and survive and everything, I'm going to want a job," Harry said, thinking it up as he went along.
"And you've been doing a pretty good job selling my candy so far. It'd be nice if there was a joke shop waiting for me to work there after I'm done at Hogwarts."
A black dog was sitting by a taxi outside King's Cross and gave Harry a serious look. Harry nodded and told his uncle,
"One minute."
He grabbed Greg's arm and said into his ear, "Go with the dog. Do whatever he tells you." Greg nodded, looking like nothing so much as a giant thunderstorm, and followed Sirius obediently into the crowd.
This, Harry thought faintly, was doing nothing for Harry's nerves.